Our scripture reading for this morning, Psalms 92, verses 12 through 15. Psalms 92, verses 12 through 15. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
The reading of this text, we note that the writer is emphasizing those who are older. In verse 14, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. One of the things that sometimes I note when I go away for gospel meetings is when I am there, I find that people have aged a great deal. And certainly that doesn't include me, but of course the congregations in various places are often made up of older people. And a moment ago, when I heard little one crying back here, I thought that's a wonderful thing because there is the potential of young people, and that's a great thing, where you do not hear babies crying. That's indicative that there is danger. In this text, it's talking about, however, the benefit of older people. There was a lady in the congregation in Piggott where I was that is 95 years old. She's there if she can walk at all. She's always there. We visited with another lady who is 95 years old. And I want you to note, she said, if I missed heaven, it's my fault. I've had plenty of time to prepare. I don't say that to be funny, brethren. But here is a woman who has lived a life of faithfulness to God. She's only lived in two places in all of her life. She's lived at the place she was born and the place where she and her husband lived after they got married. 95 years old, committed, faithful to the Lord, can quote more scripture than most of us have ever learned. Now, as we look at characters like that, we need to see that these people are focused. They understand what's important in life. Sometimes we miss that, brethren, and I fear, frankly, here in Lancaster, that we may miss that. The thing that is important for a lifetime, and we may grow up, and we may become old, and be far, far away from the Lord. And beloved, that's unfortunate. That's not the way that God wants it to be. A dear friend of mine, when I was in college, he and his brother were children of an only child. Grandma still lived. She was aging in a nursing home, and she said, I don't know why I'm still here. There's nothing that I can do. Her grandson said, maybe you're here to teach my brother and I how to serve. There are all kinds of things, brethren, that we need to think about as we grow older. And this writer is emphasizing that they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. There are a lot of people that we read about in Scripture who are old, and yet they're faithful and active, and they're serving the Lord and been so for many, many years. Turn in your Bible, if you would please, get my pointer out here, if you would please, to the Old Testament text of Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. In Genesis chapter 17, God promised Abraham that he would have a child. In verse 16 it says, regarding Sarah, I will bless her, and moreover I will give thee a son of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be of her. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Here are old people, but they had a son, and Abraham's faith in Romans chapter 4, it wavered not in unbelief. He believed that what God had said, God would do. How much did he believe that? As we turn to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, the writer tells us, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 11, by faith even Sarah herself received power to conceive seed when she was past age, since she counted him faithful who had promised, wherefore also there sprang of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of heaven in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Both Abraham and Sarah, 100 years old and 90 years old, believed what God said, and they had a child. How much did they believe that? In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 17, it tells us, by faith, Abraham, being tried, offered up Isaac. Yea, he that had gladly received the promises was offering up his only begotten Son, even he to whom it was said, In Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God is able to raise up even from the dead, from whence he did also in a figure receive him back. I don't know how old Abraham was when he offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar. The text tells us that his son was a lad, Genesis chapter 22. But Abraham was an old man when he had a son, and no doubt had warm affection toward his son. But Abraham is a very old man, believed what God said. And beloved, does his faith become an example to you? When you see a woman who's 95 years old, and she's there, all the time she's there, does that faith demonstrate something to you? When there's a 95-year-old woman who cannot be there, but tells you, I wish I could be. And in discussion with this 95-year-old woman, how many passages were discussed in our conversation? I want to ask you, beloved, does the faith of an old person, does that impress you? Here are old people, been faithful to the Lord for many, many, many years. Friend, they didn't get there overnight. It was a lifetime of focus upon spiritual things. As you turn in your New Testament to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 26 says, Wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decayed, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for a moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The Apostle Paul, writing at this point, he'd been a Christian for a very long time. But yet as he suffered numerous persecutions, he was not deterred by those persecutions. His focus was upon heaven, you'll see in verse 1 of chapter 5. For we know that if the earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In verse 2 and following, we note that Paul longed for that. What do we see in these passages? We note old people, do we not? Like Abraham and Sarah, who were focused upon those things that are eternal. When we think of Moses and Aaron, turn, if you will, to Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7. In Exodus chapter 7, reading beginning in verse 7, the writer tells us, And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. Well, let's see if we can calculate that. Those of you who are mathematicians in the family, we know from Acts chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, as Stephen reports concerning the history of Israel. The text tells us that Moses was 40 years old when he left Egypt. 40 years old when he left Egypt. Well, we want to note, if you hold your finger there, from Hebrews the 11th chapter, why did Moses leave Egypt? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, accounting the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked unto the recompense of reward. The next verse tells us that by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses was not a very young man when he made this choice. The text tells us when he was grown up. Now we know that if he was 40 years old when he left Egypt, and as the text tells us in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, that he was 120 years old when he died, then how many years was he outside of Egypt while he was a shepherd in the wilderness for his father-in-law Jethro? Well, he was 40 years there, wasn't he? 40 years in Egypt
40 years as a shepherd, and then what did God do? God said, I've got a job for you. An 80-year-old man. He appeared before Pharaoh, and he said, let my people go. Do you see that? Moses didn't just automatically become a spiritual leader of God's people, did he? Moses had made some preparation that caused God to recognize that he was the most qualified man to lead about 3 million people out of captivity. Now you think about it, brethren. An 80-year-old man when he stood before Pharaoh. And his brother Aaron, 83 years old. You want to talk about old people. And a job to do. You think of just how big a job that was for Moses and for Aaron. Now, we might reason and say, well, I know, preacher, back in those days, people lived a lot longer, you know, than they do now. Turn, if you will, to the time of David, where you read in the Psalms, in Psalms chapter 90. Psalms chapter 90. And read beginning, if you would, in verse 10. In verse 10, the psalmist said, the days of our years are 70 years, or even by reason of strength, 80 years. Yet is their pride but labor and sorrow, for it is soon gone, and we fly away. Verse 12 tells us, so teach us to number our days, that we may get us a heart of wisdom. No, my friend, some 70, maybe 80 years, perhaps this was the average lifespan during the days of Moses and Aaron, who at 80 and 83 appeared before the household of Pharaoh and said, let my people go 3 days into the wilderness where they might worship me. Now, beloved, as we look at these men, we're seeing old men. Turn, if you will, to the Old Testament book of Joshua, where we learn in Joshua chapter 1, that Joshua was to be the man who would lead God's people into the promised land after the death of Moses. Joshua chapter 1, read beginning in verse 4. In verse 4. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittite and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your border. In verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt cause this people to inherit the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous to observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest have good success whithersoever thou goest. Joshua, you're going to be the one to lead these people into the promised land. But what has happened? Turn back, if you will, in the text to Numbers chapters 13 and 14. Numbers chapters 13 and 14. Moses had sent spies into the land, you recall, to spy out the land of Canaan. And in verse 25, it tells us they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. But in verse 28, howbeit the people that dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very great. And moreover, we saw children of Anak there. In verse 30, Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had spied out unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Well, we can't do that. But who was it that defended what God said? God said, yes, this is your land, from the river Euphrates to the river of Egypt, in verse 6 of chapter 14. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were of them that spied out the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we possessed, or pass through rather, to spy it out, is an exceeding good land. If Jehovah delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it unto us. In verse 9, Jehovah is with us, fear them not. Joshua and Caleb said, we can do this. Now Joshua and Caleb are not spring chickens. In Joshua chapter 13, reading beginning in verse 1. Joshua chapter 13, verse 1. The text tells us, now Joshua was old and well stricken in years. And Jehovah said unto him, thou art old and well stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Let's pause right there. Why is it that Joshua is so old? Well, he, among other spies, have spied out the land and come back with a good report. But because of the spies who said, we cannot do this, they have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. What's happening to Joshua during 40 years? He's getting old, isn't he? You add 40 years to your life. What will that make you, brethren? Make you old. Joshua got old, and he led them into the promised land. And when he led them into the promised land, God recognized that he was old. In Joshua chapter 24, just how old was he? In Joshua chapter 24, in verse 29, as Joshua now has brought them into the land and calls upon them, choose you this day whom you will serve. You're familiar with that, verse 15. And the people answered and said, oh, we'll serve the Lord. How old was Joshua? In Joshua chapter 24, in verse 29, it tells us, and it came to pass after these things, that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Jehovah, died being 110 years old. Joshua was an old man. He was not a spring chicken when God told him, you will lead these people into the promised land. But there was a mighty work that he was to do. In Joshua chapter 14, we read about Caleb. The text tells us in verses 10 and 11, and now, behold, Jehovah hath kept me alive as he spake these 45 years from the time that Jehovah spake this word unto Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so even so is my strength now for war and to go out and to come in. Now Caleb said, I'm still a strong man, but how old was he? He was 85 years old. Caleb was not a spring chicken. Joshua and Caleb constitute examples of old men. But note, if you will, that God saw the value of leadership in an 85-year-old man, and Joshua, 90-plus, when the time of the average lifespan was 70, perhaps 80 years old. Now, my friend, today, we need to see folks like the lady who is 95. We need to see that. And we need to see the faithfulness of people like that for many, many years. The confidence that they have in God to continue the kind of life for so many years that is pleasing to God. It's not been that long ago till we studied about Daniel. Well, turn, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of Daniel. And note with me in Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. In Daniel chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, it said, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. Now that's significant to us because we know that the year that Jerusalem was besieged or invaded was 605 B.C. Later, Judah fell in 586 B.C. But captives were taken away when Jerusalem was besieged. In verse 2, it says, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, and he carried them into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring in certain of the children of Israel, even of the royal seed and of the nobles, youths in whom was no blemish, well favored and skillful in all wisdom, and endued with knowledge and understanding, science, and such as had ability to stand in the king's palace, that he should teach them the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily portion of the king's dainties, and the wine which he drank, and that they should be nourished 3 years. At the end thereof, they should stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Israel, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now you may not recognize those names. We know Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as we know their Babylonian names. But note that they are described as youths at the time that Nebuchadnezzar invaded Judah. Now, as Nebuchadnezzar invaded Judah, what had happened previous to that? Nebuchadnezzar had invaded Assyria and had conquered the mighty nation of Assyria. Now, what makes that so interesting to us? Because at this time when Nebuchadnezzar invades Judah, Daniel is described as a youth, which could extend his life back into the days of the Assyrian Empire as a little boy. Now you think about that. From the Assyrian Empire, the Empire of Babylon, and then we know that the Babylonian captivity from Jeremiah chapter 25 was to last how long? 70 years. Now where does that put Daniel? Some have estimated that Daniel was taken captive in the neighborhood of perhaps between 15 and 20 years old. Now again, those of you who are mathematicians in the family, if we presume that Daniel was as old as 20 when he was taken captive, you add 70 years to that. Daniel was an old man at the end of the Babylonian captivity. But that's not where it stops, is it? Read further in the book of Daniel, in the 6th chapter of the book of Daniel. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps who should be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them 3 presidents of whom Daniel was one." Look at that, beloved. How old was Daniel? Well, we know that Daniel was at least 70, 80, 90 years old when Darius appointed him to serve as one of the princes over the province of Babylon. That's an old man. And the average lifespan was somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 to 80 years. Daniel was an old man. Now you see that old man. In Daniel chapter 6, beginning in verse 4 through the end of this chapter. And what do you see Daniel doing? You see Daniel praying as he always had. At the appointed times of prayer, verse 11, just like he had always done, verse 10. But you see, the problem with that was that the king had been persuaded to write a decree on which he could not go back, that if any man was found making a petition of anybody, then he was to be thrown into the lion's den of any god other than the god of Darius. But what did Daniel do? Daniel went as his appointed times. A 90-plus year old man, and what's he doing? He's praying just like he always did. And what happened to Daniel? He was thrown into the den of lions. You think Daniel didn't know the consequence of doing what he'd always done? Well, he knew. Well, then why did he do that?
Because young Daniel had demonstrated faith and confidence in God, didn't he? It didn't matter if the lions ate him. He knew what God had promised. Now, when you talk about Daniel, you're talking about a man whose life spanned not only perhaps part of the conclusion of the Assyrian Empire, but the captivity of the Babylonian Empire and the beginning of the reign of Darius over the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. You see, that's an old man. And today we read about Daniel, and we ought to be impressed with the faith of this young man and how that his faith just grew throughout his lifetime. Again, when we think of examples, let's come to the New Testament. In Luke chapter 1, we read of the example of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Luke chapter 1. Reading there beginning in verse 6. It says, "And they were both righteous." Let's begin at verse 5. "There was in the days of Herod, king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abijah, and he had a wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years." What's that tell you about Zacharias and Elizabeth? They were old, but they didn't have any babies. They were old. Read on in Luke chapter 1, verse 11 beginning. It says, "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, because thy supplication is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." But what are we learning? Here's an old man, an old woman, didn't have any children, but yet they're assured that they're going to have a son. And they had a son. Older people expressing trust and confidence in God. And we see that evidence when Zacharias finally was able to talk and he said, "His name is John." Well, what do we understand? Zacharias finally got the message. We read about Simeon and Anna. Turn the page to chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 25. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. There the text tells us, "That behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, that they might do concerning him after the custom of the law, then he received him into his arms and said, Blessed God, and said, Now lettest thou thy servant depart, Lord, according to thy word in peace. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people of Israel." What do we see? Now, though the text doesn't tell us his age, the text does tell us that here is a man who would be spared. He would not see death until he saw the Christ child. And now he sees the child, and he said, "Now I can die. Let me depart." Certainly the text implies that here is an old man whose life has been spared in order that he might see the Son of God. Read further in that text, verse 36. It tells us, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and she had been a widow even unto 84 years. That's 84 years old. We would look upon someone as 84 years old, and we'd say, well, that person is old, wouldn't we?
And so this woman was 84 years old, the text tells us. And it says, who departed not from the temple, worshiping with fasting and supplication night and day, and coming up at that very hour, she gave thanks unto God and spake unto him, to all them that were, spake of him, to all them that were looking for the redemption of Israel. And when they had accomplished all things that were according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Here's an old woman. Here's an old man who had looked for the coming of the Lord. And they declare His coming. Well, in Acts chapter 7, we're introduced to Saul of Tarsus. He is called a young man, the young man Saul. He held the garments of those who stoned Stephen to death. In Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, the text tells us that there arose a great on that day, a great persecution against the church, which was in Jerusalem. And if you turn the page to Acts chapter 9, Saul, yet breathing threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and asked of them letters to Damascus, unto the synagogues, that if he found any that were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. The young man Saul, very ambitious to find those who are Christians and bind them, in order that they might be persecuted, even unto death, Paul said, as he recounts in Acts chapter 26, beginning in verse 9. But you know, through the course of his life, there were a lot of things that changed. And so we read in the book of Philemon, Philemon in verse 9. Philemon verse 9. There the text tells us, beginning at verse 8, wherefore, though I have all boldness in Christ to enjoin thee that which is befitting, yet for love's sake I rather beseech being such a one as Paul the aged, and now a prisoner also of Christ Jesus. We're introduced to the young man Saul. And now we read about Paul the aged. What's happened during this time? Well, Paul got old. I don't know how old he was in Acts chapter 8 and in chapter 9. But he's described there as someone who is young. But now he's described as someone who is old. Now, following his conversion, we know that he went into Arabia. We know that he came back and preached sometime in Damascus. We know that about 15 years passed from Galatians chapter 2 and he came to Jerusalem where he met some of the other apostles. And we know that eventually he began these preaching tours. In Acts chapter 13 is the map that you have on the board just now. Acts chapter 13 through chapter 15. Chapter 15, he had returned to the city of Antioch where he reports to the brethren there the work that he did in the first preaching tour, and then he goes out again. But notice how the circle is much larger. He has established and he has confirmed the faith of many churches. How long did it take? I don't really know, because we don't know exactly the time when Paul was converted in Acts chapter 9, how old he was. But look again. He has returned to Antioch, given a report. He's gone back up through some of these very places and returned where he is taken captive, a prisoner, in Jerusalem. And then he is transported to Rome, a journey which took, some have told me, 4 or 5 years. It was a long journey to finally get to Rome, where he could be imprisoned for 2 years. Without being charged. Now you put all that together. The conversion of Saul in Damascus as a young man. And then you bring him to the city of Rome as a prisoner, where he writes these 4 prison epistles, including the book of Philemon, where he calls himself Paul the Aged. I don't know how many years that was, but it was enough time for Paul to refer to himself as an old man. Now we know that he was released from prison, where that he wrote at least 2 other books, the epistle to Titus the epistle to Timothy, the first one. And then we know that he was arrested, where he wrote the epistle of 2 Timothy, anticipating his death. Well, we've got a lifespan of Paul. From a young man, a persecutor of the church, to now an old man who's facing execution because of his faith. Now, I want to suggest to you, beloved, that God uses older people. Older people. The word elder means something. It doesn't mean a youth. The apostle, in writing to Titus, during this period of time where he was free from a Roman prison, instructed Titus to teach certain things to older men. What does that tell us? Well, there were some old men on the Isle of Crete who were members of the body of Christ, and Titus was to teach them some things. While you have your Bible open to Titus chapter 2, look beginning at verse 3. Titus chapter 2, verse 3. That aged women likewise be reverent in demeanor, not slanderers nor enslaved to much wine, teachers of that which is good, that they may train the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sober-minded, chaste, workers at home, kind, being in subjection to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Older women, you have work to do too. Teach the younger women. You know, one of the things that I find very difficult many times is to accept that often when we become older, we're ready to lay down and quit. We're ready to quit. You don't find that to be true of these that we've talked about, not Abraham. You don't find that to be true of Moses and Aaron. You don't find that to be true of Joshua and Caleb. You don't find that to be true of Zacharias and Elizabeth, Simeon, Anna, Paul, the aged. Here are old people, but there's still a lot of work to be done. And we find the old people doing the work. Now, that's not to suggest that there's no work for young people. The Apostle Paul addressed the young people in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 12. Even in our text here of Titus chapter 2, there is a great deal of work for young people, but old people who perform these tasks are not qualified to perform these tasks, all of a sudden, are they? There's a lifetime of commitment behind that kind of work. Well, what can they do? Well, they can advise the young, can't they? Well, open your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12. In this text, you note that Solomon has passed away, and his son, Rehoboam, becomes king. And the people come to Rehoboam, and their request is to make their burdens lighter. And Rehoboam, it tells us in verse 6, King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, "What counsel give ye me to return answer to this people?" And they spake unto him, saying, "If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever." Was that wise counsel? Yes, it was. Here were old men. They didn't get old by being dumb. They got old by being wise. They had sat in counsel with the wisest man who had ever lived. Here were old men who had an abundance of knowledge, a wealth of wisdom. Wouldn't you give your eye teeth to sit at the feet of these men? Rehoboam did. But he considered what they said foolish. And he went to the young men. And the young men, he asked, "What counsel give ye, that we may return answer," verse 9, "to this people who have spoken unto me, saying, make the yoke that thy father did put upon us lighter?" And the young men said, that were grown up with him, spake unto him, saying, "Thus shalt thou say unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou speak unto them." They sound very definitive. We've got the answer. Here's what you tell them. "My little finger is thicker than my father's loins, And now, whereas my father did lade you with heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Rehoboam, his record is recorded in the Kings as a man who was a fool who divided the kingdom of God. Why? Because he didn't listen to the old man. Old people generally have something to say, don't they, that we need to listen to. What a wonderful opportunity that Rehoboam had. Turn in your Bible to Psalms chapter 71. Psalms chapter 71. In this psalm, the writer tells us, beginning in verse 17 once again, O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. Yea, even when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have declared Thy strength unto the next generation, Thy might to every one that is come. Old people, we have a responsibility to teach those who are younger. Now, you need not neglect that. You see, we're not to be put out for pasture, are we? There's still work to be done. There's still yet a lot to be contributed. In Psalms chapter 78, beginning in verse 1, read it. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of Jehovah and His strength and His wondrous works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed the law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children that should be born, who should arise and tell them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Young people, write that down, underscore it, highlight it in your Bible. Know this passage. Grow up to know the Lord. Know the mighty works that He's done. Read the Scriptures to be able to call them to mind, to teach them to little ones, that they can teach them to their little ones and to their little ones. Why you do that? So they won't forget. Now, friend, there's much to do when it comes to teaching the younger people. Who does God obligate to do that? Those who are older. And why not? Is it wrong to expect those who are older to have spent a great deal of time with God's Word? Now, young people, you have to understand, life is short at its best, described as a vapor. Job said in chapter 14, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. You know, one of the things that often I hear from old people, when did I get old? You ever hear that? When did I get old? Because it seems like just yesterday. Young people, time passes, and you can't put it back on the calendar. And one of these days, you're going to wake up and say, I'm an old man, or I'm an old woman, and I don't know what I thought I would know. And I'm not doing what I thought I would be doing. And now time is limited. Rude awakening, isn't it? To see the reality of getting old. Years ago, baptized an old man into Christ. He looked at a young man who was waiting on the Lord's table, and he talked to me very upset. He said, I see that young man. He can wait on the table. He can lead a prayer. He can teach a Bible class. He can present a lesson. And here I am, he said, I'm old and I can't do anything. What he said wasn't right. Yes, he was old, but to say I can't do anything is not so. But I want you to see a problem in that equation.
This young man's grandparents on both sides were members of the body of Christ. This man's parents, members of the body of Christ. This young man's aunts and uncles on both sides, members of the body of Christ. That's all this young man's known from the day he got in the world. He's been taught the gospel. And now here you are, an old man, and you're just starting. Now what's against you? Time. Now you young people better get your mind wrapped around that. Because one of these days you'll be old and there won't be time to learn what you want to learn and to influence the people you want to influence and to teach them the things that they need to know because the time will have passed. And where will you be? You see, life is short, isn't it? Now, old people, what can we do? Psalmist said, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and green. You know what that means, don't you? They'll be like a young sapling. Just because they're old doesn't mean they can't do anything. Lots to be said. Lots to be done. You see, you may retire from secular labor. But if you ever retire from your service to the Lord, you'll be lost. Now that's just the fact of it. Maybe I'm talking to someone in this assembly this morning. Needs to obey the gospel. There's a starting place. Do that now while time is yours. You believe that Jesus is the Christ. Turn from sin. This is the time to do that. Obey the Lord. Be baptized into Christ. The apostle, the aged, said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, now is the time. Do it now. Maybe you've obeyed the gospel and you're not what you know you must be in order to go to heaven. Friend, you have time to do that now. You may not have that time tomorrow. Tomorrow may never be. You may say, well, I'll do that sometime before I die. One of the trips or one of the meetings I had on this very trip. There's a man who told me 20-something years ago when I besought him to straighten up his life. He had two little girls at home. He said, I will one day. I've got plenty of time. Here we are 22 years down the pike, and guess what? He's still unfaithful to the Lord. But guess what happened in the interim? His two little girls grew up. They got married. They're not faithful to the Lord. And they've got children. One of them does. Now here's Grandma. Well up into her 80s. Weeps. Because of what her son did. Now what can you do about it now, brother? Too late? Very likely too late. A lot of things you'd like to change, aren't there? Now you young people need to think about that. We can help you obey the Lord. Make that known while we stand and sing this song.